Page 48.
Recognition of the love month, I'm going to do the old love letter. God gave us an old love letter, and he nailed it on a cross just for you and me.
Watched his love unfold with special care.
all eternity. It was written by a nail's hard hand at Calvary. Found the old love letter, the pages stained with red. I am yours eternally, is what the postscript said. I treasure my letter that he nailed upon that tree. My tears stain each page every time I read. Oh, how this old love letter spoke to my heart and soul. I was captured by every word as I watched his love unfold. With special care he wrote it down for all eternity. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary. Oh, how this old love letter spoke to my heart and soul. I was captured by every word as I watched his love unfold. With special care he wrote it down for all eternity. It was written on nail-scarred hand at Calvary. With special care he wrote it down for all eternity. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary.
Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Emily's thankful for that old love letter this morning. Thank the Lord for it today. Thank him for his many wonderful blessings. And thank for all the provisions that's been made already on our behalf. Praise the Lord. Have your Bibles, you want to turn with us to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, we want to stay on the parables, the parable of the great banquet. And I made a few notes and I jotted down at the top of the page the title of Thanks But No Thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. And that's kind of the way this parable, that the response for it is. And I'm afraid there's many across the world today. There's been many before today in history that has said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm okay. And that's the world that we live in, a lot of people today. And with a gospel call, they say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm good. I'll try it myself. I'll try my chances. And I've heard people making Lord be moving on their heart, and someone would talk to them and they'd say, I know I should, but I'm not going to. I'm going to take a chance in it. We'll take a chance on it. And so if you would stand with me, chapter 14, and we'll start reading at verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. Lord, and I thank you for the great banquet and this invitation that has been extended to mankind. I thank you, Lord, that it was sent out and it's come around again. And Lord, so many folks has had more than one opportunity. And Father, today I thank you for the invitation that came my way, and I thank you that I responded the way I did. And God, we pray today for your touch, and Lord, that I'm asking you for your anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for the moving of the power of God in such a way, God, that we'd get the gist of what you have in store for us in this parable. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Have your way, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the previous verses that Jesus had been encouraging the folks to about humility, about putting others first. He'd be last to be first, and the first shall be last. And he talked about a dinner, and when you make a supper and make a dinner to invite, don't invite your friends that can repay you for it. Invite folks that can't repay you for it. And then he came down at verse 15, and then one of them said, well, blessed is he that shall eat in the kingdom of God. And pretty much what this guy was saying, blessed is me that I'm going to be eating in this kingdom. He was patting himself on the back, and he said, blessed. He was thinking of himself, and Jesus got to the heart of the matter. And how many of you have ever made special plans for a big event? Went through a lot, a big expense, and not many show up. Boy, that's a bad feeling, isn't it? You put all that hard work, all that money, all everything that's been done, and then people just say, well, and then the excuses. My cat got sick. Now that'd be a good excuse for some of y'all, but not me. But or, you know, just trivial excuses. And as we look at, and I want to just go ahead and say this, I'm afraid I'll forget it, but there's been a lot put into this invitation. There's been a lot done for this banquet that the folks are being invited to. The Son of God left the splendors of heaven to come to earth, to put on human flesh and became man and dwelled perfect life among men, was crucified, put in a tomb, came out of the tomb, and arose back in to heaven. There's been a big lot done. And so often, there's a lot of excuses. In this day that when the party and the invitation would go out, and the way I understand that the invitation would go out, and it would say, okay, in such and such day, 3 weeks from now, there's going to be a big banquet. Two days from now, whatever, the invitation would go out. And then the day of the invitation, when everybody, the time was not given. So they would come out that day, and then they would say, everything's ready for the banquet. The invitation had been given in this parable. Now was that day. Now was the time to be given. The folks had accepted the invitation, the first one. They said, we're all in this. We're ready to come. But the day of the invitation, and then they said, you know, I just really don't have time. And that is the parable. And to put it in the terms that Jesus was talking of that day, invitation had been given by Moses and the prophets. The Word of God talked all the way through that the invitation is coming. Well, I want to invite you to heaven. You be part of it. And one day that you'll get the invite at the best time, when one day the Messiah is going to show up. So they had been given the invitation, and now had come the day, and Jesus had come on the scene, and they said, thanks, but no thanks. We really didn't expect it to happen this way. And that's where the story and Jesus really meaning it is talking about this. They were invited. See, John the Baptist come out and said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus came preaching. And it says in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But boy, I like verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So the parable goes as, all right, you've been invited. And then the day came, and you came up with excuses. One of them said, well, I bought a piece of land. I don't have time today to come because I've got to go check on this property I bought. I had a problem with a man buying property without looking at it to begin with. Then the next one said, well, I've got 5 yoke of oxen, which speaks of a lot of wealth. And he says, I've got to go prove them. I've got to be sure I didn't get burned. I believe I'd wait till the next morning where I had all day to do it instead of going at supper time. Amen. Then the other one said, I've just married a wife. And she won't let me come. I added that in. But they all said, thanks, but no thanks. We appreciate the invitation, but we're really not interested. And today, and I want to look now and spend just a few minutes on these excuses. I want to look at the excuses that were given. And they're the same excuses that you use today. They come out just the same way. We might use different verbiage and different words, but it's the same message and it's the same excuses. In verse 18, we see he said, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. The first one asked to be excused. He said it real cordial and he said, I'm sorry. I wish I could, please. Excuse me, and I'm sorry, I can't come. But I really don't have a chance to come. And the first point is I don't have a chance or I don't have time. I'd love to come. I really meant to come. And I was all about this. But something just come up and I really don't have time to come. Now, I'm sure most of us has had that happen to us in our lives. I mean, have the invitation come, we's all ready, may even have tickets. Then all of a sudden, whoa, something come up and something happened. But this, I don't think was really, see, this guy was too busy serving the God of materialism. He was too busy about the material things of the earth. He was too carried away and too concerned. See, these Pharisees and scribes and the religious leaders of the day, they were very rich, they were covetous, and they were seeking their own worldly advantage more than spiritual and eternal welfare. And see, in the world today, that a lot of folks is seeking what it is to help them in this world, and the worldly advantage and the things of the world and the spiritual matters and eternal matters just don't matter that much. It's as long as we've got the best car, as long as we got the best house, as long as we have the best clothes, as long as our kids go to the best school, as long as we live in the best neighborhood, as long as everything is hunky-dory and everything's good with us and we're doing fine, then I'll worry about, see, I'm going to come to that banquet one day, but today I just don't have time. I've got to work and pay for everything that I've got. Amen. And he said, I do not have time. Oh, I really wanted to come this way. I really want to be part of this. I really am concerned and I'm really worried about. But catch me in a few weeks. See, I am afraid that procrastination has sent more people to hell than drugs, alcohol, immorality, or anything else. You might say, preacher, hang on a minute. No, I'm serious. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe there's more procrastinators in hell than there are addicts, drug addicts. I believe there's more procrastinators in hell than there are adulterers. And that is why the putting things off is so important. It's so serious. It's a serious matter. And he had put off and put off, and this is their possessions, their wealth, their investments, their interests, and their relationships was more important than the things of God. Does that sound like any time we ever heard of? That's where we are today, isn't it? And all of these things we put on the top shelf, and we put the spiritual things, even when we come to church and even and we've called on the name of the Lord, I'm so afraid we still categorize and we put the spiritual matters down here on the lower shelf. And the other things is on the top shelf, and that's where all of our time is. And we don't really have time. I'd like to have a dollar for every time that I've heard, well, preacher, Sunday is my day to rest. I only get to sleep in on Sunday, so that's my rest day. I have to work 6 days a week, so I go to rest on Sunday. See, I think J.M.'s once told me, and his dad was talking to a guy, his dad was a preacher, was talking to a guy, and the guy was talking about all he had to do, didn't have time. He said, but you're going to take time to die one day. That, we're going to take time to die. It don't matter if everything else, I don't care how busy you are, I don't care what you got going, I'll tell you, death don't take a second a fiddle to nothing. When it comes that time that we draw our last breath, and that's it. Amen. Want to go to verse 19. The first one, he said, I don't have a chance to come, or I don't have time. Verse 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. He said, I don't have the concern. What you're talking about is good for you, but I'm really not that concerned about it. That sounds good for you. And what's good for you is not good for me. And I've got other matters. And if you're happy, just go right on. Enjoy your little religion. But I'm happy over here. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. I'm really not concerned with them. And that was to this guy. He said, I'm more concerned about these yoke of oxen and making money and doing what I want to do. And I'm really not concerned about the spiritual matters. I'm not concerned about this banquet. See, he's serving the God of pride. I tell you, that is one of the worst. That's the original sin. And he said, I'm good enough. I'm all right. I'm as good as those people that go to church. How many's ever heard that? I'm as good as anybody else is, and don't be concerned about me. I heard a guy that, a friend I know, and his grandma and someone had said, well, I'm not coming down there. That church is full of hypocrites. She didn't bat an eye, and she said, wouldn't you rather spend an hour a week with them than eternity in hell with them? Wow. You know, it's the concern. See, I see, and I preached a message not long ago, a year or two ago, spiritual lethargy. Lethargy. We're lethargic. The spiritual matters, and that there's no concern in America today about spiritual matters. That's where we are. We're more concerned about a ball game than we are spiritual matters. Now, I love ball myself. I've got one finger out and four back. I love basketball, I love football, I like sports. But I'll tell you what, when I get more concerned about them things than I do the spiritual matters of God, I'm getting in bad shape. When I get more concerned about the political situation than I am spiritual matters, I'm getting out there. When I'm more concerned of what Wall Street says than what the Book of God says, then I'm getting in a bad shape. See, he was selfish, this guy. He'd gratify himself. His own worldliness and his own sin was more important than anything else. The Bible says the first to be last. I've heard it said, I've talked to people about church and about spiritual matters. Well, I worship when I go to the mountains. I worship His creation every time I go to the mountains. That's good. See where that stands on the day of judgment. I'm not saying you have to be in church to worship. I don't mean that at all. But the Bible says once we get right, we need to be in the house of God. Forsaking not the assembling ourselves together, we edify each other and build each other up. But this guy said, you believe like you want, that's not for me. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't have time. I don't have the concern. And in verse 20, so that servant came, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. This guy said, I just don't care. If you look in this passage, the first two looks like that they was kindly saying, I'm sorry, will you please have me excused? But this guy says, I ain't coming. I mean, he has no desire to come. The other two said, well, we really wanted to come, which really involved, but I don't have time. And the other one said, well, I'm really not as concerned about that as I thought it was. This third one says, I don't want nothing to do with it. I ain't coming. In old hillbilly talk, I just ain't coming. I don't care. I will not. And see, this man is serving the God of self. And people says we don't serve idols today. I'm afraid we do. This guy was serving the God of self. I think that this is the idol that's worshipped more than any in the world today is the God of self. We're in, I think it's Ephesians chapter 5, down our verses, and it says, it's talking, and he talks about people being immorality and all these things, and then he says, and an idolater. Then comes on down to verse 2, And then he talks about that idolatry. It's added in, but it is what he's done has exalted himself above God. When we worship self, we set God down here and self up here. And I exalt me, 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 I. Turn on commercials today. I turn them off, but we ain't watch television, I don't know how long. To get you to buy their product, they go to that idol. They said, since you're going to exalt yourself above everything, we're going to cater to that need. We're going to let you, and we're going to, if you want to look the best and be, buy this product. Ride in this car. Drink this beer. Eat this food. Put on this perfume. And you are number one. Amen? You are a Lexus and Bud Light away from being the man. Amen? And they are hidden, and the devil is using them, and they're feeding this ego of ourselves, and that we exalt ourselves, and that I can't come to church. Well, I'm not coming to church. I'm not worried. I'm not getting saved. I'm not being involved in that. I'm worried about me. That's what this guy was. It's people that loves their sensual lust and pleasures. Anything, and they don't have time for anything else that don't involve their pleasures. Is this outdated? I think we're dead on, aren't we? I don't have time for anything else but me. The motto today is, there's no limits. If it feels good, do it. Go for it. Eat, drink, live it up. See, and I'm thinking and I thought about these excuses. And I don't have a chance. I don't have a concern. I don't have a care. But down at verse 24 is what ought to get everybody's attention. He says in verse 24, "For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." This can carry right back up to verse 15, where the guy said, "Blessed are those that said in this festival, this feast, and I'll be there." And Jesus said at the end of the parable, "No, you're not going to be there. Because you fall in that category, and you won't be there." He said, "Any that resist this will not taste of my supper, will not make it to heaven." The invitation was given by Moses and the prophets, but Jesus gave the invitation. The second, now is all things ready. Now is the time. Today, now is the accepted time of salvation. Now is the day to serve the Lord. To do it while it's day, because night cometh. And he said here that the call went out, and now all things are ready. See, Jesus said, "I have now come, and I brought life, and I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And the only way that you can have eternal and abundant life is through me. In John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am that bread which cometh from heaven. Unless you eat of that bread, you cannot go to heaven." And on down in that verse, It said that many turned away from following him that day. They said, this is a hard saying. See, they say over in Africa and some of these other countries that it's really not that hard to get them to worship another god. They're already worshiping thousands. They have no problem at all putting another one up on the shelf or whatever. But when they tell them, well, you got to get rid of them, and Jesus is the only one, then they have the problem. We're called narrow-minded. But Jesus is the only way. None of these shall taste. Hebrews 10:27 says, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And see, that is what in verse 24 is pretty well summing it up. If you don't accept the invitation, you'll fall into the hands of the living God. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In the last few words there, he says, from such turn away. From such turn away. Does it sound like it, we're in the last days? Amen. Would you say we live in perilous times? Amen. I think so too. And this morning, as we'll close, God said in Genesis chapter 6, my spirit will not always strive with man. There comes a time when the invitation will close. There'll be a time when that's it. There'll be the last call. And we never know when that last call is. That's why it's so important that we don't put things off when it's pertains to spiritual matters, that we take care of them quick, because we never know when that cutoff is and that last call is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your blessings, for all your mercy and grace. Lord, we do thank you for the invitation that's been extended. Father, for your touch from up on high. God, I pray today that I don't know that you've laid this message on my heart, and I don't think it was for no reason. I don't think it was just to get up here and beat my lips together for a few minutes. Lord, I pray that you'll use this. The Holy Spirit would move upon a heart, and God, that you would challenge and convict according to your will. Lord, I pray for your touch during this time of invitation. Lord, help each of us to search ourselves. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. God, I pray for your touch. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I'll stand and turn to page 245.
Do you need to come this morning? Lord, speak to your heart. Will you come?
Wonder.